Acts 13, so you can turn there. Heavenly Father, we come and we do, Lord, we declare that you are on the throne that has not changed. Jesus, you're at the right hand of the Father, and life and the affairs of the earth are in a timeline. There will be a day in which you say, enough is enough, and you step forward. And then every man on the planet will give an account for the life that we have. And so, Lord, we come tonight, and we, once again, we say, be our king, be our leader. Be the one who guides us and rules over our life. We trust in you and you alone. Lord, we don't trust in good days. We don't trust in good times. Lord, we don't trust when things are going our way. Lord, we trust you every day. And so, Heavenly Father, would you renew that tonight? May we hear you tonight more clearly than we've ever heard. In the name of Jesus. Amen, church. Amen, amen. You know, it's times like the times that we live on in our life where there's a lot of noise all around us. I mean, I'm just not talking about political, advertisements and that kind of stuff. Or, you know, today somebody rang a doorbell in my house and I was thinking, you know, I'm not going to answer that because I know who it is. But it turned out to be Cub Scouts. Yeah. So, but, you know, I was ready to get my speech like, hey, leave me alone, people. I voted already, you know, but it was Cub Scouts looking for some food to help less people in need. But, you know, we live in a noisy time, and more than anything else, the question that I always get from people is how can we hear the Lord better? And as we read through the book of Acts, as we've been reading through the book of Acts, that was their focus. You know, the church in the book of Acts didn't get caught up in all the noise of a culture. They didn't, none of that stuff bothered them. Yeah, they're running for their lives a lot of times, right? Yeah, there's a ruler in place that hates them and you know, has given out the clarion call. You know, you've got rulers in the church that are also persecuting them. But you know what? Didn't stop them. And nothing that goes on in our day should ever stop us, delay us, or distract us. And so I want to talk about how does one hear God even better? And really, it applies to today. I'm only going to give you five different ones. I could give you more. I can give you more ways in which God speaks. I'm going to give you some of the primary ways. And it's really based on Acts 13. So I'm going to read the first three verses, and I'll tell you why I believe the Lord wants me to speak to you about, can you hear me now? Here we go. Verse 1 says, now in the church that was in Antioch. Now Antioch is in what we would modern day call Syria. So now in the church that was in Antioch, there was certain prophets and teachers, part of the fivefold ministries, right? They were there, probably working hand in hand. Barnabas, most likely was the senior pastor since he's named first. Simeon, who was called Niger, most likely he was from northern Africa or Africa. Lucius of Cyrene. Manan, I guess is the way you would say it, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Verse 2, and they ministered to the Lord. And they fasted. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Here, I want to focus on, it said, the Holy Spirit said. Because when I read that, I'm like, well, how did he say it? Right? Well, how did he say it? How did they understand it? And really, this portion of Scripture doesn't tell us how, but I think we can see how the Holy Spirit speaks, how God speaks to us, even in this day. And so that's really what I'm looking at. Now, the church in Antioch is an important church. And from here on, what's going to happen is this. We see that the church is going to send out the very first missionaries that ever went. We're sending missionaries, short-term missionaries, to Haiti on Sunday. You're going to hear that about that right at the end. In fact, I'll be flying out of here myself on Sunday to go, and we're going to train pastors, teachers, leaders. But tomorrow, what did I say? Okay, tomorrow is Sunday. it's one and the same. It's one and the same. I sometimes with your spouse, you just can't get it right. So tomorrow or Sunday, whichever you prefer. We're sending missionaries to Haiti. But you know, here, the missionaries that the Church of Antioch sent, they're really the first missionaries to send out and became really a pattern for the church. And what we're going to see in Acts 13 is a shift. Up to Acts 13, really Peter is the main person that we hear about. From here on, it's going to be the Apostle Paul. You know, sometimes people say, you know, verse or chapter 1 to 12 is the Acts of the Holy Spirit, and then from 13 on is the Acts of the Apostle Paul, because he now will rise up and will be the primary leader of the church. Also, Antioch takes a different role come AD 70, because the temple will be destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. Really, believers will be forced out of Jerusalem. So Antioch now becomes, after AD 70, really the center of the church. In fact, that you could say that was the sending church in all three missionary journeys for the Apostle Paul. So we're going to see a shift in Acts 13. But sure enough, they come, it says they ministered to the Lord. What does that mean? That means they were worshiping the Lord, they were serving the Lord. And in the midst of doing that, in the midst of praying, in the midst of fasting, they hear the Lord. Now, did they hear him audibly? Did they hear, just like you're hearing me audibly, did he speak that way? Was it maybe an impression in the inside, in the spirit man? Because in the book of Acts, we see both. We see God's Spirit speaking audibly. They were hearing him audibly. Also, we hear really the impression of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to look at five different ways that we hear the Lord. And here's the first one. Here's the primary one, really, that the Lord speaks. He says, hear me. Are you hearing me now? Hear me through my living word. It's through the word of God. Now, this is good news for us, that he wants to speak to us through his word. Now, I ask you this question. That's pretty obvious, the answer. What if you don't read his word? Yeah, you won't hear. I'm glad. You're so smart. You're right. If you don't read his word, don't be surprised that you don't hear from him. Don't be surprised. Usually when you come to me and you say, man, I don't hear God, the first question I'm going to ask you, do you read your Bible every day? Because at East River, we read our Bible what? Every day. That's what we do in this church. We push you to do that. And so he says, will you hear me through my living word? Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all of Scripture, every bit of it, right, is God-breathed, God-inspired. God spoke it out, right? He uses men, right? But still, it's the living word of God. And it's very useful for what? Teaching. If you need to learn something, you need to go to the Word of God. Rebuking, you need to smack around, you need to get into the Word of God. You need a little bit of correcting, you need some training in righteousness on how to do right, you need to go to this book. It'll teach you all those things and much, much more. It's the living Word of God. It's not a textbook. It's not a history book. It's not even a science book. There's things that people want to put into this book that it's none of those things. But it is the living Word of God, right? And it's amazing and it's powerful. And so as we read the word, we're encouraged, right? You might just wake up today and you're discouraged. Read the word. The word of God guides us. We may not know what to do. We got a circumstance. We got an issue. You go to the word of God and it will guide you. It warns us. It corrects us. It gives us revelation of who God is. What's God like? If you want to know what God's like, it's in here. If you want to know what the unseen world is like, it's in here. If you want to know what heaven is like, it's in here. But a lot of times people don't know any of these things because they're not what? In here. And that's the problem, right? That's the problem. And so it's all there, God's character, God's attribute, God's nature, all those things. And what happens as we read the Word of God, we then hear the whisper of God. We hear the whisper of God. He applies what we're reading. Maybe yesterday we read it and nothing. But today we read it and we hear that whisper, this is for you. There's an application, there's a principle that jumps out at us. That's why God speaks to us. He begins to highlight things for us. It's like this, say you deal with fear in your life. We all deal with stuff. Can we get an amen? We all deal with stuff. Fear, anxiety, childhood stuff. We all do that. If you don't, praise God, you're more mature than the rest of us. But we all have our stuff. But say the thing that you battle is fear. Right? You're always future tripping. You're always thinking, man, I know it's going to fall apart. I know my life is going to fall apart. I know I'm going to get sick. I know this. I know, you know, there's fear that wells up in you. Well, then the Lord wants to deal with that. So maybe as you're reading the Word of God, what he does is he leads you to 1 John 4:18. That jumps out at you. Like, whoa, it jumps out at you. And look what 1 John 4:18 says. There is no fear in love, meaning both aren't compatible. Both can't reside together. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Okay? I remember when I first read that, I'm like, Lord, how does that happen? And the Lord told me how that happens. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. See, ultimately, you're thinking it's all going to fall apart because I deserve it. I haven't lived right. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I haven't crossed my T's. I haven't dotted my I's. So I know it's going to fall apart. And fear has, in many ways, attached to punishment. We deserve this. It says, the one who fears is not made perfect or mature in love. What's he saying? He's saying this, that the reason fear grips you is because you're not totally convinced that God loves you. He's saying this, you're not convinced that he loves you enough that he's got today covered and he's got tomorrow covered. That's the way perfect love casts off fear. If you understand how perfectly he loves you, that he's got tomorrow covered for you, there will be no fear. Parents, those of you that got kids, you love your kids so much that if you could, you would prevent them from ever experiencing disappointment, right? Pain, sickness, all those kind of things. Why? Because we love them. Well, it's the same way with God. He loves us, and he's saying, would you trust me to take care of your today? Will you trust me to take care of your tomorrow? Now, if you trust him, you got to do it his way. See, we a lot of times think, Lord, I'll trust you, but I want to do it my way. No, that's not the way it works. And that's why you wonder, why is it not working? Because you said, I trust you, but I'm going to do it my way. Does it make sense? Am I speaking to anybody? Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad. Because I'm speaking to myself. God speaks through his word, right? And his word never violates any of his principles. If you think, man, I think I'm hearing God correctly, you always got to understand that his word never violates his principle. Because I've talked to men that swear that they heard God say, you know, I'm going to leave my wife because I'm going to be happier with that girl, right? And I know that's not the Lord saying that, because that's contrary to God's principle. That's right. Contrary to God's principle. It'd be like somebody, I mean, don't you hate to be misquoted by somebody at work? Don't you just hate it when somebody says, well, you know, and they quote you wrong? It just drives you crazy. Because it in many ways, it's almost an assault on your character. I'm not that way. I'm not that way. Well, and yet we sometimes do that to God. And God said, well, wait a minute, that you're just acting on what you want to do. Does that mean there's not real problems? Yeah, there's real problems. But the issue is not to disobey God in order to get your way. The issue is work hard at trusting God and have him do his work within you. And so the first way that we hear really the Lord better is that we dig into his word and he speaks to us through the word. Second way, scripture says, is that we hear him through his son. What am I talking about? Look at Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. It says, God, who at various times and in various words spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. He's saying, really, in the Old Testament, he spoke, and really, he spoke in part. All the prophets had glimpses. All the prophets had pieces and parts, right? And we can put those all together and get a pretty decent picture, but he says, something's different about my son, right? Various times and various places throughout the ages, right? The fathers, talking about the Jewish fathers, right, they understood things from the prophets, but in part. But he says, in these last days, talking about the days in which you and I live, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his son. And then he describes some of the things about his son, who he has appointed heir of all things. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to the Son, through whom he also made through whom he also made the world. It's kind of interesting. You're like, well, wait a minute. I thought Jesus just showed up, you know, way back like 2,000 some years ago. No, he's been from the very beginning. In fact, here's another confirmation. He said, yeah, the Father was there with the Son, making the worlds from the very beginning. And so God spoke in the Old Testament how? A varied amount of ways. God spoke audibly in the Old Testament, literally just like you and I are hearing each other. He spoke in a burning bush or out of a burning bush. That'll freak you out. Heavenly visions, right? He spoke to people really out of heaven. Dramatic dreams and visions. In fact, don't ever put God in a box. I mean, he even used a donkey, right, in the Old Testament. He even used a donkey, you know. Some people would accuse that he's still using a donkey today, but that's okay, right? I'll go with it. See, in the New Testament, the words of Jesus in Scripture really give you an insight as to the heart of God and the voice of God. If you want to know what God wants, dig into His Scripture and look at His Son. You know, because in John 14:9, the disciples had been with Jesus already 3 years. They'd seen Him do everything. They lived with Him for 3 years. And even after 3 years, they're like, you know, show us the Father and they'll be good enough. Even after 3 years of living with Him, eating with Him, right? Sleeping, and I mean, you know, hanging out there, they're still saying, okay, show us the Father and we'll call it good. And what does He say? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. If you want to know what the Father wants, look at Me. Because I'm the fullness of what God has in mind. The prophets only gave parts and pieces, but Jesus gives you the fullness. Now, will He ever speak audibly? Some people want to know, will God ever speak audibly? Well, look what Jesus said in John 10:27. He's talking about His sheep. He's talking about you and I. My sheep hear My voice. And in that day, people understood what He was saying. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Right? His sheep hear His voice. In that day, shepherds were out, right, taking care of the sheep, and the sheep would understand their shepherd. I could go over there and call the sheep, and they wouldn't come because they don't recognize My voice. But He said, you and I, we recognize His voice. And in the Old Testament, He spoke audibly, but He didn't speak audibly very often. But He does speak audibly, even in our day. I've been following Him now for about 40 years, and I've heard Him speak to me audibly just twice. He speaks audibly, but just like in the Old Testament, not very frequently. Why He does, I don't know. You see, what you got to understand, that even when He speaks in the language of the Spirit, it's just as clear as He spoke audibly. I believe the 2 times that He spoke to me audibly was because I was at this crossroads. The first time I was ready to walk away from ministry. I knew He called me to ministry, but I was going to go chase money. I knew He called me to ministry, but I had this opportunity, I was about to chase money. And that's when He got a hold of my attention. He knew it was a crisis. I'd already in my heart really decided, I know You called me to ministry, but man, here's this opportunity over here. Once again, He does speak audibly, I believe, even in our day. You know, I was reading this account, and you see these accounts over the last several years, last 10, 20 years. In the Middle East, you're finding these Muslims who are saying that Jesus is not only appearing to them, but speaking to them. In one account that a missionary documented, this Muslim family were in their tent. They're Syrian refugees. They're in a refugee camp. And so there was, I think, like 8 in the family. And so they were just having dinner. And this person appears at their door in their tent. Said he was dressed in white, brilliant, kind of freaked them out. And he identified himself, I'm Jesus, and I'm sending you a man tomorrow to tell you all about Me. And he was gone. I'm like, well, that was, you know, they thought, man, what's in the food, right? I mean, that was what I would be thinking. You know, somebody spiked my food. I'm seeing things. Well, you know that they were freaked out the next day when a young missionary by the name of Daniel shows up, right? And he says, can I come and talk to you about Jesus? And Daniel didn't know this, obviously. He just went, and he knew something happened because the family began to freak out. And the dad was just yelling, going crazy. And so he's telling his interpreter, what's going on? I mean, something. You know how you know, it's just something's going on that I'm not understanding. And so they began to tell the interpreter what had happened the day before. And those kind of accounts are coming out of these countries that are closed to the gospel. They're saying, no, we're not only seeing Jesus appear to us, but He's speaking to us. That's huge, because these folks gave them their life to the Lord. I mean, that's a huge thing in that culture. It can cost you your life, it can cost you your family. And so the Lord does speak through His Son. I believe He speaks audibly. The third thing that I see in Scripture, it says, the Lord says, not only hear Me right through My Word, not only hear Me through My Son, but hear Me through My Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who's in us. Look at John 14:17. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. You're wondering, why don't they see what I see? Why don't they get it? The reason they don't get it, they don't have the Holy Spirit that you and I have. So the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And so the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Often it's described as the still small voice, that inner voice of the Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Spirit to Spirit. He speaks to our conscience. He speaks to our spirit. He tells us the right thing to do. He tells us the things to avoid. Those are really the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's described as a rhema word, a word for now, a word for you right now. And a lot of times when that happens is when I preach. When I preach to you, the Holy Spirit in you is beginning to speak. In fact, oftentimes when I talk to you on the way out, you're like, man, Pastor, you won't believe. And you tell me what the Holy Spirit told you. And I'm always impressed. I'm always impressed that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. He does that individually. In fact, he could give you one message and a total opposite to you. I mean, just that's what he does. It's called a rhema word, right? A rhema word, a word, a prompting of the Holy Spirit for you, for now, for your situation. That's what he does. And you and I have to be open to that. And also, I would encourage you to write those things down. Write them down. See, because I know as soon as you're on your way home, you forget it. On the way, you forget. It's gone. And you need to write these things down. One of the times where I really have the Holy Spirit speak to me is really when I pray. When I pray. When it's just me, all the distractions are gone. Especially in the middle of the night. No distractions. The whole town of North Plains is asleep. Right? It goes to sleep about 9 o'clock at night. And yeah. And when I pray, the Lord begins to speak to me. Right? Just these promptings, these things. Telling me what's ahead. Telling me what he's going to do. Telling me about you. Romans 8:26 says this, likewise, the Spirit also, talking about involved with us, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Why not? Because we don't have all knowledge. We don't know what's in the future. We don't know what's ahead. So even if you're good at praying, you're still really a weak prayer because you don't understand what's ahead. But the Holy Spirit will let you know. The Holy Spirit will steer you and guide you in how you ought to pray. How do you know when your kids are struggling? The Holy Spirit tells you. Right? How do you know when somebody else in the congregation is struggling? The Holy Spirit will tell you. It's just prompting. You're like, well, that's kind of weird. I remember this gentleman who was our worship leader at another church. The Lord had prompted me to pray for him. And this guy was, I mean, he had a life altogether. And I was surprised, you know, I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, you must have it wrong. He's our worship leader. He's our worship pastor. But he's got his life altogether. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me, you know, pray for him. And I'm like, I'm thinking, I had to argue with the Holy Spirit a little bit, and he had to convince me to pray for this guy. So sure enough, I prayed for him, kind of reluctantly. I prayed for him as best as I could. Well, that's Saturday. I just had to know if the Holy Spirit got it right or not. So I went up to this worship leader, and I said, hey, how you doing? You know, just nonchalantly, hey, how you doing? And he says, this has been the worst week of my life. I'm like, whoa. And then I said, well, you know, you won't believe this, but the Lord, and it was on a Thursday, had me pray for you. I tell you, that meant up so much to him. Right? So much to him, because he was at that place where he was just, I don't know if you've ever been to that place where you think you're going to snap. That's where he had been that Thursday. He was just ready, man, I'm going to lose it all. Just the weight on him, the pressure, the ministry, the enemy, just beating the tar out of him. And yet, once again, the Holy Spirit's involved. For we don't know how we should pray for we ought, as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, whether it be in heaven or whether it be here. And so we, as God's people, we pray, we fast, and we become sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit. You know, for years, you know where we've seen this? Reports have come out of China about this, where because some of the places are really, I mean, some of the churches are being followed by the secret police in China and that kind of stuff, and they pay a huge price. What some of the churches do, which is great, they just say, hey, guess what? You ask the Lord when and where, and you show up. No announcement is made, nothing. Right? That way nobody knows ahead of time. You just pray when and where, and you obey. Man, that'd be cool, right? We're just going to have services when and where, he says, right? Wouldn't it be weird you show up and the rest of your team doesn't? What does that tell you?
They're...
either wrong or you're wrong. Yeah. I mean, and that's what they do, and they do it for the safety, right? So that they don't get in prison for years and years. But you see, they have confidence that the Lord's going to speak to them. And I'm sure they silence themselves. I'm sure they spend time, okay, Holy Spirit, you speak. Let me get rid of all the noise. That's so crucial. I'm convinced that the reason we don't hear the Lord as clear as we do is because we live in the noisiest culture on the planet. And I also believe it's really the strategy of the enemy. And we love noise. And he's like, good. Right? I don't have to teach you to hate Jesus. I just got to give you a noisy life. And I've accomplished the very same thing. Amen? So not only will he hear, not only do we hear him through his word, through his son, not only do we hear him through his Holy Spirit, but also through prophetic gifts. Number four, through prophetic gifts. The Lord gives prophetic gifts to people in the congregation. Really, it's available. Everybody really can be prophetic. You can hear God's message for somebody else. You've seen Mark and Ann Tubbs come here and demonstrate that the Lord will give us a message for somebody else. You don't have to be a pastor. He can give you a message even for a complete stranger. It's a message that is of the Lord. And you'll know fairly quickly if the message is of the Lord or not. You'll see the other person's response. Now, where we often have to be good is we have to just give the message just the way it was given to us. Don't add anything. I call it a warm-up. Sometimes we got to warm up and then warm down. Just give it the way it was said. Don't expect to understand the message. Don't expect to understand the message. The most powerful message is if somebody said, you know, this doesn't mean anything to me, but does it mean something to you? And they give me this message. And I'm like, whoa. Yeah, if you only knew. If you only knew. And so the Lord speaks to us through people. But the prophetic message will always encourage, will always build up, will always clarify. You always got to be careful of people that come and, you know, God gave me this message, right? You're going to die in 3 days. I mean, you know, people like that, you just, you know, guess what? That's not the prophetic message. James 13:7 talks about really the wisdom of heaven. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first pure, right? There's no you involved in it. Right? There's no personality involved in it. There's no none of this stuff. It's pure. You know this person doesn't have a game. It's peace-loving. It brings peace. It's considerate. It's submissive. It's full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's how you recognize the Word of God. When God speaks, man, it just does something good in you. You know, sometimes God will use the written word and the prophetic word. When the Lord first called me to ministry, here's where I knew he was calling me to ministry. He was, man, just this, the word was jumping out at me. And I'm like, wow, he's calling me to ministry. But then I'm thinking, nah, I don't want ministry. Right? I'm hearing it in his word. I'm seeing it in his word. And it's jumping out. And it's all there. But you know what? Then he began to bring people to me with a prophetic word, right? I'd be in a prayer meeting or a Bible study, and people that don't even know me, they have a message for you. The Lord's called you into ministry. I'm like, oh. Right? See, the word and the prophetic word. Come to that. You always want to balance it, right? You always want to test it. Don't just take what people say. Don't live your life by what people say. You always test it. You always go back to the Lord. And don't ever limit him. And the fifth thing also, I'm going to finish with this. Not only do we hear through his word, not only do we hear through his son, not only do we hear through the Holy Spirit, not only do we hear through prophetic gifts, but also sometimes we hear through orchestrated circumstances. Now, here's what we got to be real careful. Tell your neighbor, got to be careful here. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, okay? God uses circumstances. Some of us, we found our spouse through God's leading. Outwardly, we would say, well, it was just circumstances. But I put the word orchestrated circumstances. God is involved. It seems like it just happened. No, he was involved. He was orchestrating it. Can I get an amen somewhere? Good. Good. He does that, but we always got to be careful here. We proceed with caution. We test it by Scripture. We ask the Lord, Lord, is this you leading me? When I met Pam, it took me a little bit to figure it out. Wait a minute, this is your leading, Lord. And it looked like this. Right before Pam, I met the girl of my dreams. The girl that fit my criteria, all five. I met the girl of my dreams. After 6 months, I was bored with the girl of my dreams. Right? Because it turns out, now I know that the girl of my dreams was me. Yeah. And so I was done with the girl of my dreams. And then this, and then I said this, and Pam will tell you, I mean, I said, guess what, I'm done. I'm just, forget this. This whole, you know, dating girls, all that, I'm done. You know, not done forever, but I'm you know, I'm taking a break for this stuff. And probably 2 weeks later, I meet her at a church camp. And then I said, well, okay, I'll give them one more chance, right? One more chance. But no, I understood, and it took me a little bit to understand, wait a minute, Lord, you ended this. She had also ended a relationship, right? The Lord moved us around, orchestrated, and guess what? I knew she was the one. I knew that I knew that I knew that she was the one. I had other options that still that looked good. I mean, there was other Christian girls that I was dating, good families, but I knew she was the one, right? What's people laughing for? Are you surprised that I had other options? Dang. I know, yeah, it's like, dang, what? What? He had other options? You thought she married me because she pitied me or what? Come on. Well, you see the, but here's what you guys, I almost married the wrong person before. See? Because at the time I was very new in hearing the Word of God and hearing His Word. Tell you what, I could have made a huge mistake before I met her. This is how bad a huge mistake. When I broke up with her, the next day she sent family to come beat me up. How important is it to listen to the Word of God? Amen? I mean, these guys get out of the car and they got baseball bats. Oh, okay. So much for love. But I'm still here. Amen. I want to finish with this. I want to finish with this. What life changes do you need to make to hear better from God? What? Is your life kind of noisy? Or are you just going, going, going? You got this and this and this. Is your life a little bit too noisy? Is that maybe one of the changes? Maybe for you it's desire. You got to be honest. You say, you know, I'm just going through life on my own wits. I'm just making it up as I go. Maybe what you would say tonight is, man, I need desire. Lord, give me desire that I would want to hear from you. Maybe for some of us, we have heard the Lord. The Lord has spoken to us. We know He spoke. And really, the thing we're struggling with is obedience, follow through with what He said. Maybe that's our part. Maybe it's our part. Here's what I want you to do. Go ahead and stand up, if you would. We're going to worship the Lord. You know, during your time of worship, talk to the Lord about these things. Say, Lord, speak to me about me. Ask Him to speak to you about you and see what He says. Amen? Thank you, Steve.